Hello and welcome to the Greg Fearon podcast with your host Greg Fearon, and today I have the awesome Louise Hines, who's going to help you to get out of your own way, ladies. Louise, welcome to the show.
That's my aim. Thank you for having me.
Cool. So we've kind of been talking on the social media front for a while. So do you want to just tell the people that listen to this show what you do and how you do it?
Yeah. So I am a life confidence and mindset coach, and I help primarily professional career women to figure out what it is they really want from life, and help them identify their passions, their purpose, so that they can live the life they really want to live and not the one that they have kind of found themselves living. I think we trundle along and then we get so far and then we realize actually that, oh my God, how did I get over here? I wanted to be over there. And then we can't find a way back to who we truly are and what we truly wanted to do. So a lot of that is around helping them figure out what's really important to them, helping them, like you say, get out of their own way so that they can actually then take action towards it, and helping them realize that they have everything they need already inside of them. They just need to access it. So it's really empowering. It's really empowering for them.
This is going to be a fun episode. I can already have a million questions in mind. So just give me the backstory about how you got to where you are and what made you start doing this.
I was really unhappy in my corporate career. Mm-hmm. I was probably really unhappy for like 5-6 years, mm-hmm. and just kept going, oh my God, like, life shouldn't have to be like this, but had no idea mm-hmm. what else I could do. I opened and closed lots of different doors along the way, things that didn't work out, and
yeah.
lessons learned, just obviously. And then it just came to me, I'd actually done a piece of work in my corporate job around purpose and values and things like that. And using some of that, I then signed up to one of these 5-day challenge things on Facebook. And it was then actually that the light bulb moment happened. It's like, oh, of course, it's coaching other women to get out of something that they're not completely fulfilled in, mm-hmm. and help them move towards what it is they actually want to do. Because I left my corporate career and didn't have a clue what I was going to do. I just walked out one day. It just got too much. And it's like, and I've just written my weekly email about this, actually. Steps, isn't it? There's never one massive moment. Well, there might be for some people, mm-hmm. but that change is often, and I guess this is really relevant to what you do as well, the change is almost imperceptible sometimes.
Yep.
And then when you look back and you go, oh God, yeah, 6 months ago I was this, or 2 years ago I was that. Yep. That is where you see the real difference. So there wasn't a real moment for me. It was a number of small moments that led me to then go, yeah, stuff it, I'm off. That led me to coaching and being passionate about helping women who are where I was, mm-hmm. All that time ago. So, yeah, definitely.
We're going to have some fun with this one. So you made a very good point earlier, just in what you, in your kind of bio, you talked about people being stuck, ladies being stuck. Why do you think they get so stuck?
We get paralysed by fear. Mm-hmm. And when fear kicks in and our wonderful brains keep us, and I never know how to say it. Is it the amygdala, the part of our brain?
Yeah.
With the fear mechanism. And that was developed to help us stop us getting eaten by a saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah.
And the chances of that happening these days are pretty slim to none. But our amygdala kicks in when we feel fear, and that's when the fight, flight, or freeze mechanism kicks in. And freeze is fear, and it stops us from taking action. And it often feels scarier to take action and move forward than it does to stay where you are. Yes. It's safe, it's comfortable, isn't it? It's comfortable where you are now. And it might be more uncomfortable, even if you are uncomfortable and not enjoying how you are right now, or where you are, or what you are, or who you feel you are, that can often feel more comfortable than making a change, taking action, moving forwards, getting yourself unstuck. And it's all fear-based, all fear-based. Fear is it's a useful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really protects us in some circumstances.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger these days. You know, the rationale and the rationality behind our fear is, you know, really, what's the worst that could happen?
Dr. Pepper theory. You remember that? Remember Dr. Pepper?
Yeah.
So I call it Dr. Pepper theory. So, I mean, in my line of work and what I do, I guess what I find is a lot of ladies have had stories or conditioning from when they were younger. Is that what you find with the ladies you work with as well?
Yeah, we are told over and over again, consciously or subconsciously, to be quiet, to, you know, not have an opinion, to, whether that be in the boardroom or, you know, wherever that might be, however that manifests itself. And just over time, mm-hmm. we lose our confidence and we are naturally less confident than men, just naturally, because men are conditioned to take more risks. And whereas women aren't encouraged to take as many risks, and confidence comes with risk taking and taking action. So yeah, there's so much conditioning. There's so many stories that I know men have as well.
Yeah, of course, yeah, we do.
Totally. I really feel that women have so many more, especially around body image, weight, their own self-confidence, their own, you know, perception of themselves, how much they love themselves. Because we get told we're too fat, we get told we shouldn't wear this, we get told all the stuff we get told. You know, all the magazines that are just showcasing these skinny models, and you then led to believe that that's how you're supposed to be. And it's really unhealthy.
Yep, totally agree. We can come back to that point. I want to talk about that a little bit, because I think it's weird, because it's all industry created. It's not actually really created for humans. It's created to make money, those things. So
yeah,
it's all just breeding more insecurity to get people to do things. Is that?
And the money.
It's all about the money. So how do you deal with that fear of getting off the rusty nail, as it were? Because that's the big question.
It is a big question. The main one is to take action.
Mm-hmm.
Take action. And women are also much more likely to be perfectionists than men. I read a statistic the other day about applying for a job, and men will apply for a job if they believe they tick maybe 60% of the boxes required. Women will only apply for that job if they believe they tick 100% of those boxes.
Wow.
They believe they need to be all things to all people. So perfectionism is a huge, huge thing. And that stops us taking action, because we feel we need to have ticked all the boxes before we can do it. And imperfect action is so much better than, and it's like the whole kind of failing fast sort of ethos as well, mm-hmm. that the quicker you take action, the quicker you fail, the quicker you can learn, and the quicker you can do something different. Mm-hmm. And that the more we can get into that as a sort of way of life, instead of waiting, you know, oh, I'll wait till I've lost a stone before I go for that photo shoot, or I'll wait till I can fit into that dress before I book that party, I'll wait till I can, and we wait and we wait and we wait till just doing the damn thing. We're here once, right? We live once.
Yep, I totally agree.
So that is my number one thing. You have to be prepared to take imperfect action and fail. Because there's no such thing as failure if you don't learn from it.
I agree. So one of the things you touched on, because obviously my world is all about people wanting to look and feel better about themselves. And yeah, you hear it so often. Oh, I'll get fit before I actually go to get someone to help me get fit.
That makes no sense.
No, for a man, we're all about the logic. We're like, that doesn't make sense. So how do you help ladies get out of that chicken and egg cycle? Because that's what it is. It's chicken and egg, right?
It's totally chicken and egg. Yeah, it's totally chicken and egg. It's Tony Robbins talks about, he talks a lot around about we pull away from something, or we move towards So we move away from something that we don't want, and we move towards the thing that we do. And this is really relevant in your world of nutrition and weight loss and fitness, because it's often easier for us to move away from the thing we don't want, i.e. not being able to fit in our jeans anymore, than that's it. That's an easy thought for us to process, right? Mm-hmm. I can't fit in my jeans anymore. I need to do something about that. The harder thing is to move towards the thing that we want, i.e. I'll do some more exercise, I'll eat more nutritious food, because going back to those sort of imperceptible differences, again, there's no immediate result. We don't see the immediate reward. So after a couple of weeks of eating, you know, pears for lunch every day or whatever the latest trend is, that people haven't seen a difference, or they then get so fed up that they just eat a whole bar of dairy milk or whatever. And so it's finding how to get people off that rusty nail. It's about finding the thing they want to move away from, mm-hmm. finding the thing they want to move towards, so having clear goals and the outcome that they want. But then the third really important thing is the leverage for them that is going to help them take the action. So really finding something that's usually quite quite an emotionally based mm-hmm. thing for them. So, you know, if I don't fit in my jeans, if I don't do something about it by eating more healthy food and doing more exercise, I'm not going to see my kids grow up to, you know, go to university. Yeah. Or, you know, something really that's quite a harsh example, but something that really is emotionally driven, that's such a really deep reason why they need to do the damn thing in the first place. It's finding that leverage for people. Mm. If you don't do the thing, what will happen? What will be a result of you not doing the thing?
Yeah.
So that's something that I work with clients a lot. I really dig deep into their reasons why, because then they've got an emotional attachment to their outcome.
And because I'm like a big kid. Like if someone comes to me and says, "Greg, I want to lose weight," I'm like, "Why? Why?"
Yeah. Why? And that's a great coaching technique. And there's it's a 7 deep why technique, mm-hmm. and you ask why 7 times, mm-hmm. and they should be crying by the end of it.
Do you find that people aren't always willing to go to that? It's like they go to like maybe level 2 or 3, and then it's like no.
Sometimes it's about helping them access that in a different way. You know, maybe asking what would it mean to you if you didn't achieve it? Yeah. What would it? You know, just sort of maybe asking a few different questions around that and then going deeper again to help them. You go 3 deep why, and then they kind of stagnate there a bit maybe, then just work around that until they're feeling a bit more comfortable with kind of going a bit deeper. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's holding that space, is it? And as a coach, it's about holding that space of safety and compassion for them to open up to you and, you know, and just them feeling that you're there for them, that you're listening, that you're not going to judge them based on, you know, their emotional leverage point.
Yeah, got it. So, because one of the things I think a lot of people don't really understand about coaching is that you're not going to give them all the answers.
Nope.
But people kind of have really struggled with that concept. They're like, oh, I thought I came to you for the answers. I'm like, well...
Yeah, tell me what to do.
Yeah, I want a meal plan. I want the cheat sheet that tells me how to get a pay rise or to do the dream job I want.
And what we as coaches can do is help them access what's already in them already and just tease it out of them. I give advice. I give tips because I've lived their journey myself. Mm-hmm. You know, and often get a lot of clients go, well, Lou, what would you do in my situation? What would you say? What would you do? And I'm happy to give that advice. And I get a lot of my clients saying, oh, I often hear like the Lou on my shoulder. Yeah. What would Lou say? Right, okay, yeah, I'll do that. Which is lovely. I'm very, very flattered that they carry a little Lou around with me on their shoulder thinking, what would I say?
Yeah.
But ultimately, they get to choose the direction of their life. They get to choose. It's their, you know, it's their journey. All I can do is help to steer them, give them the tools, give them the techniques, give them the frameworks to help them do the work. And the clients I've had the best results with are the ones who've been willing to put in the work. They've had the life changes. They've had like, oh my God, 4 months ago, I was a completely different person type revelations, but they have put the work in. I've just guided them along the way.
And that's where what you do is invaluable, right? You can't really put a price on it.
No, and that's the tricky thing. It's really tricky to say to people, I can change your life. And I know, hand on my heart, that I can change people's lives. Mm-hmm. And then they go, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to change my life. And it's finding those tangible outcomes for people. Like, I don't know about you, but I guess a lot of coaches in your arena would say, I can help you lose 2 stone in a month, or, you know, and it's quite a tangible thing.
Yeah.
For me, it's a lot less tangible. And so, yeah, I can help you get a lot of clarity on your direction. I can help you feel a lot more confident. I can help you, you know, get unstuck. I can help you. But that's a bit, oh yeah, like, okay.
It's actually interesting, because I think what happens is people come to me for what they feel is the headline. But when you get deeper, the weight loss is never the issue.
Mm.
And it must be the same for you, that they might come to you and say, Lou, I want more confidence. But actually there's a deeper issue that underpins all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, initially they come to me because I talk a lot about, you know, they're at a bit of a crossroads in their career, maybe, or in their life in general.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was approaching 40 and that point of, oh, right, okay, I don't want the rest of my life to look like this.
Yeah.
And there's often a bit of a pivot point. It's often turning 40, or if there's been an illness, or there's about to be a life change of some kind, that will prompt them to come to me, go, yeah, I don't think I want to be in my career for the next 20 years. I'm not digging it that much. And they'll come to me for that, to get clarity and direction. And then they will end up improving their relationship with their spouse and children and parents. They will end up, you know, feeling a lot more self-assured and confident. And it's the ripple effect of the work that they do that has that kind of much bigger impact on the rest of their life that they would never have necessarily realized at the outset, but, you know, at the beginning of their journey.
And I think you're right that we have so much focus on the tangible, and I'm doing this with inverted commas, people who aren't watching this back on YouTube, but it's like people are thinking, how much can I get for my money, not what will this do for my life?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's often the same, isn't it? Well, what price would you put on changing your life? What price would you put on being able to play a game of football in the field with your kids and not feel puffed out?
Yeah, not hiding photos anymore so you can create memories. Yeah, how?
Yeah, that's easy.
So what are the biggest things you've applied to your life about how you work? Like, what are the kind of your key pillars of Louise's process that you apply to your life?
I have a really strongly defined set of values that I live by. Truth and integrity being my two main ones, and just always checking in with myself that whenever I'm putting myself out there on social media, or, you know, whatever it is, that I'm always telling my truth and being totally in integrity with who I am and what I believe in. So that's a huge, huge one. I also, and I've only just started to do this quite recently, I've seen a massive shift in myself, is I've had to uncondition myself from the corporate kind of thinking about, if I'm not sitting at my desk all day in front of my laptop, I'm not being productive.
I love that. Carry on.
Oh, it's such a revelation. But so I'm now consciously taking 10 minutes out and doing some journaling at lunchtime, or I've started meditating every morning. I'm really proud of myself because today was day 10
in a row.
I just wake up at 6, go to meditation in my ears, I think I might have fallen asleep this morning doing it, but I'm sure something went in. And that, even in the 10 short days that I've been doing that and intentionally stepping away from my laptop, has felt a massive change in my energy levels, my productivity has increased. And I think we get so conditioned to the corporate world that, you know, when you're made to feel bad for taking a break, whereas people that smoke 20 fags a day get a break.
But you know that the smoking room is where all the action happened, right? In every corporate job, it was always the smokers who were like the directors. And if you wanted to learn all the goss, you had to go to the smokers room.
Yeah. Even almost tempting to start smoking just to get the latest news, isn't it?
And it's true that we used to have a horrible one where I used to work. Oh my God, it was horrible. But I think you made a very valid point there about working too much. So I come across that with my ladies, they're all professionals that I work with, and the guilt of finishing work early is really big.
It is. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of guilt around not being perceived to be putting the hours in that everyone else is doing. Like you say, leaving early because you've got to go pick the kids up or you want to spend time with your kids. So you feel guilty because you're at work in the first place as a mum, and then you feel guilty because you're not with your kids. And yeah, it's a whole kind of can't win situation. I mean, I used to, in one of my old agency jobs, get in at 6 so I could get a good amount of work done before most other people came in. But because I left at 6, I could feel the daggers in my back because I was leaving. And I was made to feel, even though I put in a 12-hour day, that I wasn't pulling my weight, which is awful.
Snap.
Really awful. And I was reading something recently about, because my background is from the world of like marketing, market research, advertising, mm-hmm. and that actually it's still really, really prevalent in a lot of those industries that, you know, expecting to be working weekends, long hours, emails flying around, you know, crazy in the morning and all of that stuff. And it's still an expectation, and you're made to feel bad for saying, I can't go to that meeting or stay there because it's my dad's birthday, you know, and made to feel really awful that you're prioritizing family life over and above your career. And it made me really sad to see that that's still in today's, especially with all that we've been through over the last, you know, year and a half, whatever, that is still as prevalent as it was probably in the 90s.
It is really scary that culture of work more, but actually you end up doing less.
I think you do.
I know we do. Because, like, isn't it Sweden or some country that reduced their working hours to, like, a 5-hour day or something crazy? But productivity actually went up, not down.
Yeah. They're switched on. They're switched on up there in the Baltics.
And when we're still sitting here going, oh, I've got to do a 9-hour day. And even though I haven't been to my class, I haven't prepared my food and spent time with my kids or whatever.
And, you know, we work in a very linear way, or we're conditioned to work in a very linear way. Get on that treadmill and don't get off it until you stop. But actually, we're cyclical beings.
Yep.
And we need to, you know, the sun comes up and goes back down, and the moon comes up and sets again. And we should, when we're a lot more aligned with our own kind of energy and when we work best and resting when we feel we need to rest. That's definitely, I think that's quite, I don't know, I feel that's normal for the world I operate in the kind of poochy world. I don't think that's necessarily normal or widely known in the corporate.
No, I think I'd agree, having worked in corporate before as well. I think it's very much you're 9 to 5 or 9 to 6. Well, actually, you probably work till 9 to 7 because there's always a deadline. And you just do that and you're checking emails at the weekend and it's crazy.
Definitely. And I know there's certainly I used to work for a big global corporate company. There's a lot of talk around mental well-being, switching off, etc. And they really talk the talk really, really well.
Yeah.
But the reality is very, very different from that, unfortunately. And I'm sure that's the same in a lot of big global corporates as well.
So you were talking about action. And I was going back to about taking imperfect action and just starting. What are the other things that ladies should try to incorporate or that they can learn from you about improving their life?
It sounds really difficult and it takes a lot of practice, but improving your daily life is around catching those thoughts that we have in our head. We need to catch them. We then need to get curious about them, examine why we think, you know, why did I just think that? Why did I say that to myself? Mm-hmm. And then we need to reframe that. And that takes, because we have however many hundreds of thousands of subconscious thoughts going through our heads every single day, mm-hmm. 60 to 70% of those subconscious thoughts are the same thoughts we had yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. So if you're a 40-year-old woman, you've got 40 years of those negative subconscious thoughts mm-hmm. that are conditioned, you know, and programmed into your brain, into your subconscious brain, which is harder to access. So it is really putting in the work around catching myself. Why did I just tell myself that my ass looked big in this skirt? Why did I just tell myself that? Mm-hmm. You know, notice it. Oh, I just thought, I just caught myself in the mirror. Just thought myself, you know, my ass looks big in this skirt. Okay, what is it about that thought? Where did that thought come from? Mm-hmm. How can I reframe that into I look good today? Or, you know, it doesn't have to be I'm amazing, I'm a goddess. If that feels like a step too far, we have to take these baby steps into I look good today. Or, this skirt suits me. Or something that feel is one thought better than my ass looks horrific in this skirt. It's the what's the next best thought that you can, you know, you're not going to go from constant negative self-doubt in a critic talk to believing that you are truly amazing, fabulous, queen, goddess. That's a really big shift. But it's putting into practice, catch the thought, get curious about the thought, reframe the thought.
I totally agree that the bit about taking small steps, because I think you can apply it to everything in life.
Mm.
Like you have to take small steps, and because people want to jump, people want to do a long jump. They want to run up, do a long jump and skip all the bits in the middle, but it never works like that.
Okay. And you can do crash diets that will help you lose 2 stone in a day. You know, but
2 stone in a day. Oh my God.
Reminds me of that what's he called, 18 stone in a day, the comedian.
Oh, is it Peter K?
Yes, Pete, that reminds me of that. Yeah. 18 stone in a day, I'm sure there are. But A, it's not healthy, and we need to get ourselves used to this new way of being, of thinking, of acting, of, you know, believing. And so yeah, a client could come to me and go, I want to change my life. I want a career change. I want to start my own business. I want to leave the corporate world. I want to have a better relationship with, you know, my family. I want to do this. And that they're not going to do that in a week. That, you know, it's the things that we talk about. It's them, you know, letting go of all of the old stories that they're carrying around with them, all of the old belief systems. I always talk about kind of how, if you imagine a bag filled with boulders, mm-hmm. like a backpack filled with boulders, and each of those boulders is a story that you've been carrying around with you throughout your childhood, because our main belief systems are formed between the ages of 0 and 7 years old.
Yep.
So sometimes I do an exercise where we go back and we revisit their inner child, mm-hmm. to access maybe something like, well, I'm always really self-critical. I'm always worried what other people are going to think. So once we've identified a bit of a key theme, we'll maybe go back and revisit a memory from their childhood so that they can go back to their little Greg when he was 6. And it's lovely. It's quite a powerful emotional experience. But you can go back to little Greg and tell little Greg what little Greg needed to hear when he was 6 around that experience, and show him the love that he needed to be shown. And then, you know, you can access, because when we're compassionate to ourselves and the inner child, often a lot of the times when we react, we get angry or we get cross or something triggers us, it's to do with one of those old stories. Taking out as many of those boulders from the backpack as we can throughout that journey to just help release and kind of and rewrite your story. It's never too late to rewrite your story. Your past does not define your future at all. That's all the one thing I always say to my ladies. It's never too late. It's never, ever too late. You might be 48, 58. It's never too late. Look at all these amazing people who have got a PhD age, 85. And
yeah,
it's incredible.
It is crazy that we put these limitations on ourselves.
We do.
But no one else creates it.
No. It's all our own stories. It's all our own stories. So when we can identify them, mm-hmm. and when we can release a lot of those, we can just kind of be a bit more forgiving. We're not very forgiving of ourselves, are
nope.
we?
Nope.
we're our own worst enemies. And and kind of just let a lot of that go. And I teach a lot of self-compassion, self-love, and just taking time out for yourself, which a lot of women feel really guilty about.
Yeah, it's like you have to be at home with the kids and the husband and whatever all the time, and if not, then you're not Superman.
Yeah, and actually, by taking those 10 minutes for yourself, you'll be a better mum, you'll be a better wife. But the guilt kicks in. Oh, God, selfish, I can't possibly do that.
No, yeah, exactly. It's scary, it really is scary. So how do you get past that scaredness of looking after you?
It's like I said before, you've just got to start doing it and actually realize that you're where you are today because you've been doing this same stuff. So if you don't do anything differently, you're going to be in the exact same position. And I think when people invest in a coaching program, they're willing to listen to you and they're willing to do the work. They can choose to ignore you if they want to.
Yeah.
They've paid a significant sum of money for your expertise and help and support and guidance. So they listen to you. So if you're saying to them, right, this week I want you to take 10 minutes for yourself every day. No guilt, no judgment. And they come back the next week and they've done it and they feel the difference. They feel the shift.
Yep.
That's when they realize that it's okay for me to do that.
Yeah, and it's always okay. It's just that, like you said, there's stories in their heads about they have to be all things to all people, right?
Mm.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, I often end up writing, like on a piece of paper, I often end up writing, permission slip. This is your permission slip to give yourself 10 minutes a day. Like, this is me telling you, yes, you're allowed. Here's your slip. Go on, take it.
So, ladies who are watching us back, Louisa has handed you the permission slip of self-love. Like, you can go and look after yourself and do stuff that's good for you.
Yeah, there you go, ladies.
Go do it. So where can people, like, find you, stalk you, if they want to get some help with all of this stuff? Hey.
Quite scary, the number of stalkers I have, the number of people that go, oh, I read all your posts, and they never comment.
Never comment, really? Never like anything. Yeah, I get it all the time too. I love it.
Yeah, it just goes to show, doesn't it? You feel that you're speaking into a void sometimes, but yeah, you never know. If you can inspire one person that day, then it's worth it. Nathan, I am on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm less on Instagram. My website needs a little bit of tweaking, but I'm louhinescoaching.com. Mm-hmm. All of those usual places.
Awesome. And I've got to ask this question. Would you be willing to come back and share some more of your insights at another date? Because, this has been a good conversation. I think a lot of ladies will get some good stuff out of this, but I feel like you've kind of just touched the surface.
Just the surface. That's the surface.
Scratching the surface.
I would absolutely love to. Yeah, thank you.
That'd be awesome. So, ladies, if you're watching this back, you can stalk Louise. I'll put them in the show notes where you can find her. If you're listening to this on Apple, hit review, share this with friends and families. And I think the big thing to take from this conversation with Lou is that it's all within you. Would you agree?
Absolutely. We just have to get used to needing validation from the outside world, and just get used to looking within and taking that time. And it's all there. All the answers are already within you, already.
Perfect. That was a perfect ending to an awesome podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Louise. That was awesome. We'll catch up soon. And for anyone else listening, share, comment, love this. And we'll speak to you soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.